It's interesting. More than interesting, it's just I think it's exciting. It's evidence of how the Spirit does work. The songs that were being sang this morning are songs that really lead right in to this lesson. I think the second song was "Now Is the Time," and you're going to see very quickly as we put this slide up that kind of fits in. And even the last song that was sang as well, and this idea of you know, of who Christ is and all that. I think all the songs really did fit. And we certainly didn't have any opportunity to talk about that or to plan that. Someone else was planning for us, I think. But it certainly is true that the song service today was just absolutely, I think, not only done very well, but it fits absolutely perfectly with this lesson. I think you'll see that as we kind of go through that. There's going to be two passages we work out of today a little bit. One is in Matthew 8, and the other is in 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And you may think, well, there's a long stretch from there to there, but it'll pull it together. It may not be the way you've ever seen Matthew 8 before. In fact, I'm hoping that it's not. What I'm hoping is that as we look at this passage, that we gain a new understanding of this. Turn this first slide of the series. This is Matthew 8, where we're looking at Matthew 8, 21 through 22. And the backdrop of this is when Jesus is out traveling with his disciples. And that was scary. And then he's approached by this young fellow who says, I want to go with you, but I just need some time to go back and bury my father. And then Jesus says this to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." And boy, I tell you what, that's one of those passages that's given a lot of people a lot of heartache over the years. And I've heard it interpreted so many different ways and so many different things said on that. I just thought, no, I don't think that's it at all. And you may have heard things too. And some users say, well, see, there you go, the inconsistency. That's not who Jesus was. Can you imagine Jesus being so cold-hearted and so inconsiderate and just so uncaring, has to tell someone whose father has died that don't worry about burying him. Let those other dead people bury him. You just, forget that. And so I've been taught in the past, and maybe you have too, that here's an example of someone who is making a defining decision of whether or not to accept Jesus Christ as Lord or take care of their father. There's your choice. One of the two. And so Jesus is letting this young man go to hell over this burial. You ever heard such a thing? It's been taught that way. And for many kinds of, well, doesn't it seem that way? Either you come with me or you bury your father. You can't do both. Wow. It doesn't really sound like Jesus. The one who came to do what? To seek and to save that which was lost. The very reason he came was to seek and to save that which is lost. And here we have a lost person who is seeking him, and he is saying, "I'm not looking for you." Wow. I just don't think I can buy that as being the answer. So we can say, well, the Bible is inconsistent then, or we could say, perhaps we haven't really fully understood what's going on here. And of course, one of the problems is, right off the bat, is we're just looking at two verses, and there's more than two verses in this passage. I'm going to get back to that in just a moment. But I want to go to another passage in 1 Corinthians 5. Go ahead and turn next slide, please. There we go. Now, this is what the Apostle Paul says. If anyone does not take care of his family, does not provide for his own relatives, especially his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So here we have the young man says, "Lord, I want to take care of my father. I want to take care of my responsibility." And Jesus says, with that. That's a paraphrase. But he said, no. Does that really fit with this? Doesn't seem to, does it? In fact, this passage too, which is also, I think, misunderstood at times, because we tend to think, well, a person is supposed to take care of their kids. That taking care of your kids, that's just presupposed. That's not what this passage is talking about. It's not talking about a man who will not take care of his children. It's talking about children who will not take care of their parents. How do you know that? Because again, there's more to that than just that one verse. As we back up in there, at the very first verse of 1 Timothy 5, it talks about the widows. And it says that the widow should be put on the list unless what? Unless they have living children. And then their children should take care of them. Who? Their elderly parents. Because if we won't take care of our own relatives, then we have denied the faith. So I'm suggesting that what Jesus was not doing was saying to this young man, you can't become a disciple of mine unless you deny your family and the responsibility you have to your elderly parents. It must mean something else. Are you with me here? Now, I haven't proved that yet. I'm just saying, this just doesn't fit. And I'm saying that the Bible is not what is not fitting. It's our brains and our interpretation and our way we try to resolve things isn't quite working. There has to be something more than that. Turn to the next slide, please. This is important. This is very key. After that, he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. You may think, Doc, boy, I don't know. What do you mean that's key? I want you to see that when he had this discussion with his disciples, or with this young man, so that after that, as soon as they got through talking, what did they do? They got in a boat and they went. What were they going to do? They were going to get in a boat and go. When this young man came up to them, there had been another man come up first. As we go back and look at some of those passages, you might want to open up to Matthew 8 so you can see this. Because it really is critical, I think, that we do see this part of the passage so we can really understand what's happened here. In verse 18, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, Well, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Now at this guy exits. You say, well, where do you read that? I don't, except it says, another disciple said to him. So obviously this guy then steps off to the side because now there's room for another disciple. And listen to this. It was not a lost person, was it? It didn't say a lost or a sinner or, and the first case was a teacher of the law. This says another what? Disciple. Someone who was saved. Someone who was a follower of Christ. He was not talking about, whatever he was talking about, it was not this young man's salvation. That has been mistaught for I don't know how long. It's not about his salvation. It's not about choosing between being saved or being lost here. It's about something else. And here's something else. Jesus and his disciples were getting into a boat and going right then. This young man said, I want to go. I've got to go take care of some stuff first. And Jesus says, you're going to have to choose to go right now because we're leaving. This boat is going. And we're going now. There is work to be done over there now. I can't stay here and wait until you take care of that. He's not telling me you can't take care of it. He's saying you cannot go with me now and take care of this now. Does that make sense? He's giving him an option. This young man, it seems to me, has an option of becoming perhaps another apostle, even, perhaps. But he says, we're going now. It's a little bit like, take the next slide, please, if you would. This passage in 2 Corinthians 6, now is the time of God's favor. Aren't there things that happen at a particular time that if we don't take advantage then, they just don't ever come back? Aren't there? Am I the only one who's missed the boat a few times? I didn't really mean to use that little pun there, but yeah. Aren't there times that we've missed the boat? Because we weren't paying attention, maybe, or because we had other things going on, because we simply weren't in a position we didn't think to let go right then? I mean, there's been all kinds of things I would have loved to have done, but I decided, no, I just can't do that. As much as I want to, I can't. And then sometimes later I think, man, I made the wrong decision. Right? You've been there? Yeah. We've all done that. This is the thing that we have. Life has these decisions. They aren't always between good and bad, black and white. Sometimes things are much different than that. Sometimes they're between good and better and maybe best. Those are the harder ones, aren't there? Between right and wrong, that's not so difficult usually. It is sometimes. Between bad and good, that's not so... But between good and better, or better and best. Oh, man. What do I do here? Next slide, please. This is what I'm talking about right here. Sometimes, when the train is pulling away from the track, we just miss it because we're not there. Now, Jesus talked to his disciples. in Matthew 4 here, and he says this to them, or excuse me, John 4. Do not say, and then, you know, 4 more months and then the harvest, but what? The harvest is ready now. So he was telling his disciples, if you think you have time to go do something else, if you think you have time to be somewhere else, if you think that you don't need to take action right now, you are quite wrong. If you're thinking, you know what, we're going to get to this in a little while, we're going to get around to it when we get around to it. You always talk about getting around to it. I used to have a bunch of little wooden coins that had round to it on it, and I'd give it to people. Here's your round to it. Now go do it. But you know, getting around to it sometimes means you never get around to it. Am I right? Because there simply are times, if we don't accept it right then we've missed it completely. You know, I would say that there are people in the election year that, you know, some people would want to, you know, maybe perhaps run in a race, and that they found out, oh, I had a filing deadline yesterday. So what do they do now? Nothing. They missed it because they were doing something else, because they weren't paying attention, because of whatever. But I'm just suggesting that there are those things that when they happen then. And it's not a matter about being mean or not being inclusive or not liking you or not wanting you. It's just that, hey, this is the time we're doing this. And so now we go. And if we aren't ready to go then, we want to wait a little while. We may be like this guy trying to catch up. And you may never catch up. You may, by the way. Sometimes we do, don't we? We pass on it. We catch up later. But oftentimes, no. Next slide, please. Doing the right thing can sometimes conflict with doing the better thing. And that's what we're talking about here, too. This young man, this young disciple, was faced with doing the right thing, which was taking care of his father, and doing the better thing, which was going with Christ, become part of that ministry. Yeah. There was no wrong here. There was two decisions that he needed to understand. It's kind of what we talked about, these disciplines for several weeks in Bible class. And one was like fasting. You know what fasting really is? You break it down. Fasting is choosing to set aside something good for something better. We sometimes do that. That's all it is. It's not a matter of right and wrong. It's a matter of good versus better. And we can choose either way. But realize that once you make a choice for now, you can't do the other. Maybe you can do it later. Maybe you cannot. But this is important. And sometimes, like for instance, should we pay attention to our careers? Should we like show up to work? Should we take advantage of training? Should we do a good job? Should we, you know, do the job that's put out for us, and maybe even stay extra hour if we need to get the job done? Maybe go in early if we need to, or maybe work an extra day or do extra stuff? Yeah, we should. But sometimes, is it sometimes your family needs you to not work overtime today? They need you to come home early today? And that for that day, you need to make a better choice? Right? And all these up here we're looking at. Friends and family and funds and hobby and health. All those things are important, aren't they? We got to take care of our health. We got to have fun too. So does it ever mean, I went bungee jumping. Now, is bungee jumping really good for your health? Not necessarily. Depends on what that cord does, right? But I also want to do something really fun, so I was weighing out. You know, common sense. Idiot. Will I be a day? Well, I chose to be an idiot. I lived. Sometimes idiots live. That's true. But I'm just suggesting that there are those things. With our friends, we need to take care of our friends, but sometimes our friends are standing in the way of us getting a job done. I've had friends that wanted me to skip work, go fishing. You ever had a friend like that? Yes, you have. You're in the South. You have had to have that, or go hunting or something. You know what I'm saying? And maybe there's some times when we really should take a day off of work and go do that. I'm just suggesting we have to choose, because you cannot be going fishing and getting that report done at the office. One or the other. Next slide, please. And here comes down to a very important point. Jesus tells us, if we love our father or mother or our bride or our children, Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. That always does have to play in. Which is it? I've got to decide. Am I going to love Jesus more? We sang that in the song today, didn't we? Am I going to love him more or not? And sometimes we have to tell our family, I know you expect this of me. I know this is my responsibility. But God has called me to do something that I really have to do. I left the military because I believed I had to go into ministry. Do you think my family was all cheering me on? They told me I was crazy. Even my church family said, boy, I don't think you should do that. Because you already got 6 years in, only 14, you can retire, and you can go into, you know, you can do preaching later. You can do that later. I mean, everybody was telling me that except for one person. It wasn't even a family member. You know, or Anderson Kelly. And I said, David, you can do this. You need to go now. Don't listen to anybody else. Go. And I did. But I am telling you that I let a lot of people down. In my unit, in my family, among my friends. And my dad, who's retired military, he could not believe what an idiot of a son he raised at that time. Now, he's later come off of that. He doesn't think I'm quite as much an idiot, but maybe a little bit. And by the way, I think he's smarter than he used to be, too. So it worked both ways for us. Next slide, please. Here's the thing that Jesus was calling this young man to at that moment. Come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make you a fisher of men. And he still has that call going out. That there are times when God has an opportunity for ministry, an opportunity in the life of a church, an opportunity in a family, an opportunity for an individual, an opportunity that is presented that says, this is the work that I'm doing. And you are invited to participate. Does it mean you have to do it? Not necessarily. Does it mean you'll be lost if you don't do it? No, I don't think so. It just means you miss out on that opportunity. As a church, I think we're at one of those times. We have an opportunity to do something. We have an opportunity to be more involved, an opportunity to begin to really reach this community, an opportunity to really turn a corner, I think. What if we don't? You know, when will we do that? That's the big question here. Next slide, please. See this man look in the mirror? Who's he looking at? Well, I have to assume he's looking at himself when he was a young man. But he may have been looking at a possibility that he never did take advantage of. I really don't know. He may be looking back with regret, or he may be looking back with pride. You really can't tell just from the picture. From what I understand about the author and what their intention was, is he's looking back at a time when he was a fireman. And so he, in his old age, he kind of looks in there and sees that. I sometimes see myself as about 25 or 30. And if my wife doesn't remind me that I'm not, whatever I was about to do does remind me you're not. You know what I'm talking about. Those things that we do, oh, I could pick that up. And your back goes out. But I'm just wondering here. If he had that opportunity to become a fireman, and let's say he tells him, you know, I appreciate the job and I want to take it, but I've got several things to do. I'll be back in 3 weeks. What would have happened? It's gone. That fireman's job is gone. I mean, you got about 1 second to decide because there are all kinds of people lining up, aren't there? Just try to get one of those jobs. They're not that easy. I'm just suggesting that when you have that opportunity, you have to decide, how important is this? And you may decide this is not the most important thing right now. And I've got to do other. Fine. But we do have to realize it can be a lot at stake. And that's what I want us to be thinking about for this particular lesson and what we're looking at here. We're asking the question. Remember the second song we sang? Now is the time to worship. Let's look at the last slide. If not now, when? And we may go on and say, and if not us, who? We do have, I think, an opportunity as a church to really move forward. I think we're going to need to commit ourselves to doing some things. And I think our small groups is one of those things we need to be doing so that we can focus in on more and we can challenge each other more, we can encourage each other more, we can be finding ways to participate more. I think the daily study of Bible is one of the things we've got to do. If we're not in His Word, we are missing some of His words. You may get them somewhere else here and there. I'm not discounting that. But I'm suggesting that you'll miss your best chance by not studying the Word. In daily prayer, actually, in these disciplines we talked about, those are important. I think we should do them. Let's just don't say, hey, we had a good class on disciplines. You remember that? Yeah. Now what? No, let's don't say now what. Bring them up. Put them on. Let's wear these things right now. Right now. As we decide going forward what that's going to be. What's going to look like. And I don't have all the answers, by the way. I just know the question is being asked. But much the same as was to Isaiah when the Lord said, who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. Send me. This is our ending thought right here. If not now, when? I believe now is the time. And I believe that we are the people. And I think the Lord is saying, there is an opportunity here to begin again, to move forward, to participate with me in something great. Who will go for me? And we have to decide. Well, I can't now because I'm working on this project. I can't now because I've got kids in school. I can't now because I've got, someone who's not doing well. I can't now because of... Am I right about that? I mean, aren't all these things we could say, I can't now? Or we could say, yes, Lord. And trust in Him to help us work out all those other things. I'm going to say it for me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Who else wants to do that? Let's raise our hand. Let's say it, those who can and will. Here I am, Lord, send me. Amen. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Holy Father in heaven, we bow before You because You are alone God and alone good. And Father, we know that You are at work, as Your Son tells us, and You're always at work, even now You're at work. And what we ask is, Lord, that You include us, that You show us what it is that we need to be doing, that You encourage us in that path, and that You give us the strength and the resources and the wherewithal to follow You without fear. I pray Your blessings upon this congregation, upon our elders, upon our new minister coming in, and upon this community, that You help us to infuse the kingdom in our community because You have infused Your Spirit into us. Help us to open our hearts and allow You to take reign. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
As we go out, let me encourage you to do what he just said in a physical aspect.